The cell phone is the new transistor radio. Just like your grandfather may have carried his radio wherever he went, you carry your phone with you all the time. Which means you can listen to American Family Radio anytime you want with the AFR app. You'll find live talk programming, 24-hour Christian music, and access to podcasts of all your favorite AFR shows. Just go to the App Store and download the AFR app for free. Your grandfather would be proud.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Welcome to Exploring the Word. Merry Christmas.
You know, we do study the Bible, and today we've got what I call a pinch hitter. Some people call them substitutes, you know, fill-ins, but not on Exploring the Word. They're pinch hitters, and it is Jim Stanley. Jim, thank you for being with us.
Well, Brother Bert, it's my pleasure. I'm glad to be here. I'm praying for Alex today as he's on the road traveling to Jackson, Mississippi.
That's right.
He's got some things going on there, and so
he's going to be at a school there. He's been there. I think he said it's his third year, and he's going to do a biblical worldview that he does so well. And
is it Millsaps?
No, it's not. It's an academy or school. I forgot what, but he is.
Right.
It's really in Pillahatchie.
Oh, okay.
Right outside of Jackson. Right. I think that's what I understood.
There
I have too. But anyway, it's good. And this, our introduction's about the Bible.
Yes.
And I saw this, and I don't know if you saw it or not. It just intrigued me. Bible sales through October of 2024 were up 22% from the same time in 2023. And they were doing a little bit of observation, and it said the younger folks, a lot of younger people, were buying them because they were looking for something that was solid that they could trust.
As I'm sitting here on my laptop with my Bible open. But no, you're right, you know, because software is great. I think the logo software I use is top notch.
Yeah.
And then of course on my phone, Logos goes there too. But you've got Bible U and some of these others, and then of course you can even get study Bibles for your phone
and
your iPads and things and your smartphones, I guess. But now you know you can make notes on there. It looks like you're sending a text message, but you can make notes on there. But people, I think it goes back to wanting to go to a solid platform.
That's it, brother.
That they can take notes in and that they can have be able to underline those verses and things like that.
I'm going to turn mine around
the
to the camera.
Edition.
Marty, I don't know if you get this or not, but there, my Bible's all lit up and marked up, and I just love it. I grew up doing that, and I'm not the most techie guy in the world. You know that.
Right.
And so I enjoy that, but that thrilled me. And some of the Bible sales may have been online sales. Mm-hmm. They did not differentiate between that because that was still sales that they were doing. But that thrilled me. So Exploring the Word, what a time to be doing the Word.
Absolutely. Well, we're in Hosea today, and we're going to pick up at chapter 13.
That's right.
Bert, do you want to recap anything?
Yeah, let me just say, I try to remind people, this is not just a message. This is a testimony. Mm-hmm. Hosea and his wife, Gomer, they experienced so much difficulty, but the whole idea was that Hosea would redeem her and bring her back. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea is, yes, Israel, the northern kingdom, even Judah, rebelling and going against what God wants. But when we especially get to chapter 14 and see, hey, the redemption of God is real, Jim.
Right. You know, when you came by earlier today and asked me if I could sit in because Alex is in the air, I said, sure, you know, I'm happy to. And then you told me we were in Hosea. And I kind of thought for a minute, and then you said we're in Hosea 13. And then I kind of really thought for a minute, but then I remembered 14.
14. Hallelujah.
You know, that's like when we see Christ on the cross, and everybody reminds you, you know, it's Friday.
But
Sunday's coming.
Amen.
So, yes, sir.
It is. Well, let me start with this, and we're going to hit the highlights. So not necessarily. We're going to try to finish it today because, honestly, next week we're going to start in Micah. Because Christmas and chapter 5
right.
about Bethlehem.
Right.
And Alex and I, we thought that would be.
Look a lot
that's
like
right,
Christmas.
Man. Exactly. And Alex and I, we love that. And so, but here it says in chapter 13, and you find out verses 1, 2, and 3 talk about, and there's some similes in here, and catch it. When Ephraim spoke, trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. That's enough to be bad. And then it says, but when he offended in Baal, he died. Now, they sin more and more. I underlined that one, Jim.
Yeah.
When you start down that hill, it's hard to put the brakes on, isn't it?
It sure is. You know, I'm in the New Living Translation, and it said, now they continue to sin.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, they did sin on and on, but it's like they purposed themselves that, man, we're already sinning. May as well keep on.
Now, listen to the rest of this, and it gives specifics. They have made for them molded images, idols of their silver according to their skill. Now, notice the personal there, not God, there. All of it is the work of craftsmen. They say to them, let the men who sacrifice kiss the calves. Therefore, they shall be like the morning cloud, like the early dew, and like the chaff, and it's all done away. Now, what this is, kiss the calves, it has to do back with a man called Jeroboam when they first started the split, and he didn't have Jerusalem in his neck of the woods. So what did he do? He set up pagan temples at Dan and Bethel, and there was the golden calf, and kissing it is allegiance. And that's what they were doing. And
yeah.
he said, this is what you've done. And go back to what you just said in your version, New Living Translation. They continued to do that. They started and did not stop, Jim.
That's right. And, you know, it's one of those things. You've got the population at this point saying, this is where our sacrifice should go. Let's sacrifice to these idols. And, you know, sometimes today we still have our own idols.
We do.
And we say sacrifice to these instead of giving the Lord his due. We want to give it to, and we're easily beguiled.
Oh, man, aren't
we? I'll leave that alone.
Let's go on.
Okay.
Go to verse 4 and read it in the New Living Translation.
All right.
I want to see if it's close to what I have.
It says, I have been the Lord your God ever since I brought you out of Egypt. You must acknowledge no God but me. For there is no other Savior.
I believe the New King James puts a word in there that is in the Hebrew, or it's understood, yet I am the Lord your God. The reason that is so important, because of what they've done in verses 1 through 3, you know, going away, yet. That yet, Jim, is filled with love.
Mm-hmm.
He said, now I'm going to discipline you. I'm going to send you into some difficulty and discipline, but I'm not abandoning you.
That's right.
Isn't that a promise? Even then, God had his plan.
Yeah. It says, I took care of you in the wilderness, in that dry and thirsty land. But when you had eaten and were satisfied, doesn't this sound just like us? But when you had eaten and were satisfied, you became proud and forgot me.
Oh, man.
So, you know, you Thanksgiving was last week.
Last week. Yeah. Time flies when you
talked about how much I cooked and everything, and we became settled and they forgot about me. The food was done.
Okay. You've served your purpose.
That's right. That's right. And so that's kind of what God's saying here is I have protected you. I've done this for you. But then when you were full, you just thought, well, I can make it on my own now. And we find out that they really could.
I want to do an Alex McFarland. Let's turn it to our country here.
Okay.
Our founding fathers, you know, when you read the founding documents, you understood divine providence. You understood God's hand. And Benjamin Franklin said, how can a nation arise without his aid?
Right.
We have forgotten that by a lot of folks now. We've got people that are trying to get us here on AFR. We try to do that. We have people in that, you know, help us to understand that. David Barton will help us to understand that, and so many more. And so here it is. They forgot me. So listen to what he's going to do. And this is some similes like, and when you see the word like, it is a metaphor, simile.
Right.
Verse 7, so I will be to them like a lion, like a leopard by the road. I will observe them. I will meet them like a bear deprived of her cubs. You know, a mother bear?
Mm-hmm.
There it is. I will tear open their rib cage, and there I will devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. God saying, hey, I'm your Lord, your God, but you've made me angry.
Yeah.
And that anger is being demonstrated here.
In the New Living Translation and in the Amplified, there is a word added there, and it says, like a lion that lurks along the road. What a word picture.
Waiting,
you know,
for.
Wait, just there. You know, I'm waiting for you. And when you step off the road, I'm going to devour you, as it says here. But I just think that that word lurks there. It's just,
yeah, it is. Now, it goes on in verse 9, and you'll find this following all the things. And I'm going to read part of this highlights here because I do want to spend ample time on 14. Oh, Israel, you're destroyed, but your help is from me. I'm still there. You're talking about the lurking of the lion for danger and judgment. God's love is still there, desiring.
Right.
And we'll get to that in 14. I'm just giving a preview when he says return. That's what he wants them to do. And it says, I will be your king. Okay? Now, I want to skip down to verse 12. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up. His sin is stored up. Stored up. Now, why is it stored up? Because God was so reluctant in bringing the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And he would send them, I would say, storms to try to get their attention. And they would look at it and they would, you know, kind of deviate a little bit, but then go straight back to their sin. They never turned away from their sin of what we're talking about in the earlier part here of chapter 13, where he talked about kissing the calf, their pagan worship, trying to mix the worship of God in idolatry. There's no mixture in God. He is true. He is the one. You don't mix God with pagan gods.
Right.
And that was their whole deal. Now, verse 14, would you mind reading that? We got about 2 minutes, and I really did want to get to
verse
14.
Be happy to. It said, should I ransom them from the grave? Should I redeem them from death? O death, bring on your terrors. O grave, bring on your plagues. For I will not take pity on them.
Jim. O death and O grave. Let me see. I think there was an apostle who wrote about that in Corinthians about, and he turns this around. Here it's talking about judgment because he's talking about that, the redeemed from their death, but pity is in their eyes. But what God does, he turns it around, and Paul used it, O grave, where is your victory?
Right.
Oh, death.
Where
you
is
know?
Your sting?
Exactly. The whole idea is God is able to turn it around. And those of you who are listening today, he's able to turn it around in your life. You're headed in the wrong direction. You're chosen the wrong path. I want to tell you, turn to him. He will make it right.
Amen.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, here in a little while, we're going to take your phone calls. We'll give out the number during the next segment for that.
I bet a lot of folks got it in their fast dial, man.
You think so?
Some of them do.
It helps. Before we go to the break, though, let's look here at verse 16.
Yes.
It says, the people of Samaria must bear the consequences of their guilt because they rebelled against their God. They will be killed by an invading army, their little ones dashed to death against the ground, the pregnant women ripped open by swords. Man, God's wrath is an awful thing.
Sin is not worth it.
It's not.
It's not.
This is Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. That's Bert Harper. I'm Jim Stanley. And we'll be back with you as Exploring the Word continues straight ahead.
We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us,
the pro-life community to come alongside them, one ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. That was Buddy Green and Christmas Time is a Coming. You know, he and Mark Lowry co-wrote one of the greatest Christmas songs that I'd ever heard and have ever heard, and that was Mary, Did You Know?
It has, I'll put it this way, it's in my top two.
Well, good. Yeah. That's a good place to be.
That is.
But we think about Christmas time coming, probably we know about the Savior, we know about the baby Jesus. A lot of people think of it as getting and giving gifts. And just before we went to break, we were talking about the people of Samaria and what was going to happen. And then even that the invading army would kill the children and take the babies from the mother's wombs. That is a harsh, harsh judgment. But Christmas is a-coming.
Amen. That sets up chapter 14. And good word, boy.
It, you know, return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for your sins have brought you down. Bring your confessions and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and graciously receive us so that we may offer you our praises. Now, Bert, think about that. So we may offer you our praises with the same lips that we're just kissing golden calves with, you know. But in between there, we come and confess our sins.
That's it.
We repent of our sins. And then those things that we were using our lips for bad, we can turn around and use them for what they were purposed for.
When I read that, I could not help but think of Psalm 51, okay, here at verses 16 and 17, mm-hmm. that David would pen after confession and getting right with God. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, mm-hmm. a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise.
Amen.
There it is, Jim, the whole idea, a broken spirit. Just the other day, yeah, it was on Dr. Dobson's program. He had Lon Solomon, who used to pastor a church up close to Washington, D.C., McLean Bible Church, mm-hmm. and he wrote a book about brokenness. And he did allude to this. No person has God greatly used until there's been some brokenness in yeah. their heart. Brokenness about our sin, or it can be about our laziness, which is sin. It can be anything. But after you've been broken, listen, when he is able to put together that which is broken, it's kind of like the bone. It gets stronger mm-hmm. than it was before it was broken.
Amen.
And so God knows how to do that. And here, take words with you and return to the Lord. Take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, for we offer the sacrifices of our lips.
Mm-hmm.
It's the sacrifice of praise.
Yes.
Sacrifice of praise always comes during the difficult times. I will praise you. I was reading today in Habakkuk earlier, and it talks about even though the grapevines do not produce, even though the sheep are not producing, I will praise you.
Amen.
Even in the most difficult times, I will not turn away. And this is it. This is that contrite heart. This is that broken spirit. Jim, we have nowhere else to go but to
right.
God. And that's what chapter 14 is giving us, isn't it?
It sure is. And I mean, it pretty much comes out and says that. In verse 3, it says, Assyria cannot save us, nor can our war horses. Never again will we say to the idols we have made, you are our gods. No, in you alone do the orphans find mercy. These are things they will not say again because they're repenting. They're turning away from those things.
You will not say you're our gods.
Right.
Now, again, you got to understand that G-O-D is little.
Lowercase.
Lowercase. And there's only one uppercase God.
That's right.
And it is Jehovah himself, Jesus Christ as well. So I love that. The New King James, and I know it says orphans, but I do love the phrase. And everybody said, why do you like it? So it has to do with my age. I learned under the King James.
Right.
And the New King James makes that transition not as, you know, and it has some of the flavor of it, but yet it keeps it. But they're both still good, which I love the new NLT. But you are fatherless. The fatherless finds mercy.
Mm.
The orphans find mercy. You're talking about, and it was true in the New Testament. It was true under the Roman Empire. It was true in Israel. The two groups of people that had the most difficult time were orphans and widows.
Right.
And here it is. He said, you find mercy. If you're an orphan, God gives mercy.
Amen.
That is the power he has. He goes on in verse 4. Go ahead and read, brother.
All right. Now, I've switched over to the New King James.
Well, you don't have to do that.
Well, it's just a mouse click.
See, that's the value. I'd have to go. I got to go to my office a minute. Go ahead, Jim.
The Lord says, then. And I think that's a key word, Bert.
It is.
I think that's one of those that will oftentimes just get overlooked or moved on or anything.
Amen.
But the Lord says, then I will heal you of your faithlessness. My love will know no bounds, for my anger will be gone forever. I will be to Israel like a refreshing dew from heaven. Israel will blossom like the lily. It will send roots deep into the soil like the cedars of Lebanon. Those cedars of Lebanon are some pretty stout trees.
Yeah, everybody wanted that. When they were building the temple, they would go get those cedars. When, you know, Nehemiah came, the king gave him permission to get all the timber he wanted to, wherever he wanted it.
Right.
And it was there. Now, again, I read this, and I'd heard about it, but the dew, he's used dew several times. But at certain times in that land, when it was dry and thirsty, it would grow heavier. The dew would be real heavy.
Right.
It was more like a rain than it was just dew. And it came in late summer and early autumn. And the fields, you know how they get, you know, kind of dead and drying. But when that heavy dew would fall, you would see that green coming back. So here, I will be like the dew of Israel. I'm bringing it back. That's the whole idea. I'm bringing what? Life. That's the whole idea. Life. Mm-hmm. And Jesus, he talks about it. Those three L's that you find in the New Testament, love, light, and life. He brings all three, doesn't he?
Yes, sir.
And so he says he shall grow like the lily. What comes first? The dew. And then the growth of the lily.
Mm-hmm.
God does things in progression. And that means if you'll repent, you know, he will restore. He's not going to restore until you have repented, returned, and restored. So you got to, I'm doing this pretty good, aren't I? The R's, okay.
Just like you've done it before.
Oh, no.
I think there's a Baptist preacher in there somewhere.
Yeah. When we get letters that are the same, we kind of get excited. But you repent, you know, you really do. You return and you restore. Now, when you repent, honestly, returning is part of that because repent has the idea of turning away from but going to. Just turning away and not moving is not true repentance. It is a change of direction, and so the movement continues. So when you see the return, it has the idea of repentance before it, and when you see the word repent, you have the idea of returning to.
Amen.
So that's the whole idea. And then restoration. The lily will grow. And I don't think we can miss that. He's the lily of the valley.
Right.
Now, I think he's just talking about the lily here, but I can't help but think about who Jesus is when you see that. and the Lebanon. Verse 6 talks about those trees. His branches shall spread, his beauty shall be like an olive tree, and his fragrance like Lebanon. Now, Jim, have you noticed, and I don't know if it's in yours, but it does carry this over, and it's true in the original Hebrew, how many times he uses these similes. He did it in chapter 13,
right,
when he said it's like the morning cloud. He did it here in verse 4, and now in verse, here it is, verse 5 and 6, he uses the likes, and in verse 7 he continues, and he adds the word return. Those who dwell under the shadow shall return. They shall be revived like grain. They shall grow like the vine. Their scent shall be like the wine of Lebanon. Let's talk about the grain for a minute.
Yeah.
Before a grain grows, it's got to die first.
That's right.
This is what God specializes in. Let me see. How many people did Jesus himself bring back to life? The widow of Nain, and you know, Lazarus, and the other, let me see, my brain.
Soldier's boy?
Yeah, that's it. He brought them back to life. One had been just died, one had been dead for a while, but Lazarus had been dead 4 days.
Yeah.
We don't know how long some people out there that's been straying, they may feel like, well, I've gone too far, I've been away from God too long. Have they, Jim?
No, they have not. And I say that in earnest because, I mean, just like what you've read here in Hosea, what we've studied here in Hosea today, we like to compare ourselves even in sin. Well, I'm not as bad as that person, or I haven't done what that person's done, or I haven't done what so-and-so's done. That's not what God's looking at. He'll take care of them, but he can't take care of us until we repent of what we've done. So, I mean, let's look at the life of Paul. You know, you want to talk about somebody. Paul was killing Christians.
What he's doing.
And he was out there, and he was actively looking for them to put them to death. And he met Jesus on the road. Now, not all of us meet Jesus in that dramatic of a way, but we need to meet Jesus because he is the only one that can change us. He's the only one that will be able to save us. And I think it was back up in verse 2, verse 3, Assyria cannot save us, nor can our war horses. There's nothing that we as individuals can do to save ourselves. We have to come back to repentance and allow God to do it. And, you know, when you were talking about the assemblies there, think back to when these people were nasty and stinky and kissing idols that somebody else had just kissed and all this was going on, to where now they're giving the sacrifice of praise with their lips. They are like they're being a pleasing odor to God now instead of something repugnant. We were still God's children on both sides of that, but one side we were cast out, the other side we were brought in.
Hallelujah. That is the Savior, and he is the only one. There's no one else like him. There's no one else can do what he can do in your life. And so we come to the last two, and verse 9 will be powerful, but let's get to verse 8 first. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I've heard and observed him. I am like a green cypress tree. Your fruit is found in me. Okay, listen. Notice this whole thing, and I'm going to do this first. Notice the tree. Notice the olive tree, notice the vines, and now the fruit. You know, am I visualizing growth here, you know,
that
produces? So our relationship and what God's doing in our life shouldn't be stagnant.
Right.
So those who are kind of saved, if you heard that, saved and stuck, most of the time, if you're stuck, and I've been stuck a few times because of my tires being in a muddy place or whatever, and I've had to have help, somebody pulling me out.
Sure have.
God can send that, can he, Jim?
Yes, sir, he can. You know one other thing about fruit?
What?
It provides seed for the next generation.
Thank you, brother. Amen. Amen.
Most all fruit has seeds inside that can be dried and replanted.
Amen.
So the same thing's true in us. God has put some seed in us that we can sow out. Now, once we've sown that seed, it's up to him as to who's going to reap the bounty, as to who's going to water it and who's going to bring in the harvest. That our job is to cast the seed.
Amen. We've been doing Operation Christmas Child. A lot of churches have. And on the other program I do, Exploring Missions, I just got through doing an interview about their discipleship program, The Greatest Journey.
Yeah.
You know, we're not given as much time because it's just hard to do those back to back to back. But on Exploring Missions, I was able to do that and go, and we were talking about that. And he is talking about the seed of Operation Christmas Child, the shoebox, brought seed to the family, the family. And a lot of times it's the whole village, and they start a whole new church.
Sure do.
Let's get to verse 9 because time is there. Who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. The righteous walk in God's ways. Jim, that's what we're to do.
Amen.
Right here, right now, in 2024, regardless of what the world might say, regardless of the worldviews that are secular, it is the righteousness of God, and we're to walk in them.
We absolutely are. You know, I was trying to think of the verse real quick that, you know, where Jesus talks about being Jesus or Paul, I'm sorry. It my mind's drawn a blank now that I was trying to remember it. But, you know.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah. and so it's talking about Jesus being a stumbling block for the sinners.
He is. Yes, he's a stumbling block. The resurrection is a stumbling block to the Greek. It really is.
That's right.
Hey, listen, we want to take phone calls.
We do at 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Your call next as Exploring the Word continues on AFR.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.
Kids and to rest by the fire. I just settled down in my favorite chair when I heard a small voice and a cry of despair. As I stared at the hearth, I saw a strange sight. Our nativity scene in the flickering light seemed almost alive. And how could this be? One lonely shepherd was calling to me. Move me closer.
In Hosea, pardon me, about Israel needed to repent and to come back to God. That song by Evie, by the way, is Shepherd's Prayer or Move Me Closer. And I think of that song every Christmas. One of the reasons I think of it is because J.J. Jasper always asked to make sure that it was going to make the cut of Christmas songs for that year. And you can tell that's one of those songs, kind of like Buddy Green, that's been around for a minute. But, man, that message is true every day.
Jim, I want to ask you, when you do think, by the way, if you have a question prayer request, we'll take them today, 888-589-8840. But here's what I wanted to ask you. Drawing you closer, at which times in your life, looking back over your life,
yeah,
was he reeling you in to bring you closer? Was it during the difficult times?
Oh, yeah. I was thinking specifically.
Okay.
Abby had broken her elbow, and we had started at the hospital in New Albany, and then we transported her ourselves to Le Bonheur in Memphis, Tennessee. Here in North Mississippi, if you have a child that's injured and your local hospital can't help them, it's either going to be St. Jude's or it's going to be Le Bonheur.
Yeah.
Here that we take the kids to. And so that night, they had gone ahead and done surgery on her. And that night we were sitting there, and I was still working. I had my laptop over in the corner of the room. But you could hear the helicopters coming and going, coming and going. And you were thinking about, there's somebody else's kid that they're bringing in. And it was during that time, Mandisa had a new song out, and I just kind of put it on loop for that night. But it's kind of like that, draw me closer, bring me closer. And just to know that Abby was in his hands, Rebecca was in his hands, you know, my kids were in his hands, knowing that there was nothing I could do. And that was not too long. I mentioned JJ a minute ago because of Evie's song. But that was another time that there was a parallel. Cooper died in an accident.
JJ's son
died in an accident. And I was thinking, God, why would you take Cooper and spare Abigail? Because the way she came off of a four-wheeler, she could have just as easily broken her neck as she had to break her elbow. So when you talk about God being there at your most, and it may have been the fact that I was at that point in my life, not only was he close to me, I wanted him to be close to me.
Amen. I'm going to relate one as well. Our youngest son, Micah, he was having to go in for a test for our child, a serious disease that we would have had to, you know, life changing, altering. And so we were with him. He was on the stretcher. We walked with him. And then we came to a door, and the nurse in attendance said, "Mom, Dad, this is as far as you can go." And yes, I know God's with them, but I remember we tried to raise our children to depend upon the Lord. And Micah, who could not speak really plain then, he said, "The Lord is with me. He'll be with me."
That's right.
And the Lord can go behind those closed doors when we can't, the Lord. And what do? We retreat from that door where we can't go in, but we go to the Lord who can and go in before us.
Amen.
So that is the joy. And we've been studying the book of Hosea. And I want to do this, Jim. The highlights in the book of Hosea, they're pretty sharp. It starts out with the experience that Hosea has in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And he does marry a prostitute, Gomer, and hopefully she'd be faithful. She was not. And probably three children were born. The real likelihood, the last one was probably not his at all. The second one, we don't know for sure. But she goes and lives her life away from him, away from the children. He became a single parent, those three children. And so he was doing that. But after years, after she had been, the only word I know, used up, and now, you know, she wasn't valuable to whoever that was trafficking her, let's just be.
That's right.
They put her, quote, on those days on the auction block. And what Hosea does, he goes back and pays the price for her in redemption.
Yeah.
Listen, the story of Hosea has been told and retold in many ways, but it was a picture of what Israel was doing with God.
Amen.
Here has God delivered them, brought them out of Egypt, and he rehearses that with them quite often.
He does.
That he provided. But yet, as we've read earlier today, when they got into that place where they had pasture, where they had houses they did not build, and they forgot God.
That's right.
Now, Jim, let's encourage those who are going through tough times and they think maybe God's forgotten them. Has he?
No, he hadn't forgotten them. He never forgets. You know, it's one of those things that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I can promise you he hadn't forgotten that. And if you were so valuable that he gave his son for you, how much more is he willing to forgive you so that you can spend eternity together? Let me give the number real quick. We understand Alex isn't here today, but we'll do the best we can, and we promise we won't make anything up unless it's good. No, we won't. We'll say we don't want. No, we don't mind saying that. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. And as Bert mentioned a moment ago, maybe you have a prayer request you want to share.
Yeah. Let me go over this, something that I've been doing, and we've had several people to call in. Last Christmas, we were giving away Bibles that you could read the way through. And Jim's the one that worked with the group of people, mm-hmm. family. It was Focus on the Family.
Well, it was the Focus on the Family daily read-through Bible.
Yeah.
I can't remember the official name of it. And but it was from Tyndale House Publishing.
So we gave a lot of those away, and we've had people call in and say, man, I've been reading, and I have as well. And I'm way ahead. I admit, I'm 2 weeks ahead. And so it's such a wonderful thing to read through the Bible and see how God operates. And those of you that have never done that, let me suggest getting ready. We're talking about getting ready for Christmas, get ready for the new year,
right?
And determine that you're going to read the scriptures and make it a daily practice that the Word of God, it will go forth and it will accomplish what he has sent it forth to do.
And by the way, there weren't any year markers in that Bible.
That's right. It wasn't just for 2024, was
it? That's right. You can read it from now on.
So that means I can start off in 2025 doing
right.
it again. Well, it is well worth it. It's pray for the Bible,
pray for the family Bible. Yeah.
That's it. And it's been a wonderful treat in my house, and it's the New Living Translation that we were talking about the other day.
Sure is. Well, let's go to Dove calling from Texas. Dove, good afternoon. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello.
Hello?
We can hear you. Go right ahead.
I would just like to have prayer and encouragement. I lost my husband 2 years ago, and I'm just struggling this year.
Mm-mm. Well, we're going to pray for you. Now, here's what we ask everybody to do that's listening. Dove is struggling. She's in grief, her husband. So we want to pray for her. Is it harder when it comes to special times and special days?
Well, the anniversary was yesterday of his death, and it's just really hard. The second year has just been really hard. It's like the first year, it was just probably in shock and numb.
Go ahead, Jim.
I was going to say, I had a friend, we were swapping emails the other day, and he was telling me that this had been a really rough year for them, that his wife's mom had died, and then his dad died just a couple of months later. And I know that for my mother-in-law, this time of year is difficult for her because Papaw died a few years ago, and she's still grieving. That was one of the things that this person who emailed me said, that grief is hard. Grief can hit you at any time, but allow joy to hit you at any time, too.
Go ahead, Dove.
I try. I mean, I know he's present with the Lord, and that's probably what gets me through a lot.
Amen.
But I just, sometimes sadness is just overwhelming.
Amen. Well, we're going to pray for you right now, Dove. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray for Dove that you would help her grieving heart. And Father, I thank you that you've made us so we grieve, that we hurt over the loss of someone that has blessed us and we've walked through life together with. And Father, but I pray in that grief that she will turn to you. The Bible says it, that we do not grieve as those who have no hope. We have pain, knowing, as Dove has just said, I know where she knows where her husband is. And Father, I thank you for that, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord for those who are followers and believers in Christ. And I pray during this time that Dove would rely upon you. I pray that family and friends would be there with her, not necessarily saying, oh, get over it. No, but to be there and to be that person to walk beside them and help them and encourage them. And Father, I pray that those who are listening would just pray for Dove and many others. There's dozens, hundreds, thousands of people who are listening probably right now. It will be their first Christmas season without their loved one, or their second one, as it is with Dove, and it's more difficult now for her than it was. And Father, may you encourage them, and may you be there for them. May you bear them up on eagle's wings, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Dove.
Bert, one of the reasons I think grief is so hard like that is most of the first year you're in shock from having lost.
They call it a bubble.
That's right.
You're in that bubble.
And so you don't know how to live yet without that person. And so then you begin to walk out, you know, walk that out. Pardon me. And from that is where you need folks. Pardon me. Let me press that cough button there.
Well, let me say this while you're there. Keep your eyes, thoughts on it. Notice what Jesus did. Jesus wept, you know, and people say, well, he was weeping over them not knowing. He wept, okay?
That's right.
And I'm not so sure I know it, so I'll ask the question, why was Jesus weeping?
Well, it could have been because of the ignorance of those who were with him, that they did not realize who he was. I think he wept because he had missed the death of his friend.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't there, and I wasn't able to ask that question. But from the lifestyle that Jesus lived, he loved people.
He loved them.
He and loved them hard.
House, this is the house he stayed in when he was in Jerusalem. They were really, really close, and so that's the whole idea. Well, one more thing about Hosea I wanted to hit on. And that is what you see all through the book of Hosea. You see it's like a court case. And what God does, he presents the court case against them, and it is severe. Mm-hmm. They have fallen aside. They have forgotten God. They've gone their way. They have kissed the calf.
Right.
Even reality of offering child sacrifices.
Yeah.
That it was that hideous and that horrible. Notice the judgment that was brought upon them, and we talked about that, dashing their children against the stone.
Yeah.
They had done that in their practice of worship to a pagan god.
Right. You know,
if you sow to the flesh, you'll of the flesh reap corruption. You sow apple seeds, you get apples.
Right.
Okay? So they had sowed these sown, I think's the better word, these seed, and now in their judgment, it's coming back on them.
And isn't it interesting that the only sacrifice, the two sacrifices that I can remember from the New Testament that were applicable to us was the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, and Paul reminding us that we needed to be living sacrifices.
Amen. Listen to the last part of the book of Hosea, chapter 14. If you want to be encouraged, read chapter 14, the two lines in the last verse. For the ways of the Lord are right, the righteous walk in them.
Amen.
Jim, thank you for being with us.
My pleasure. And thank you for having me.
You bet. Pray for Alex. He's down there, and he'll be teaching a lot of children about a biblical worldview. So pray for him as he travels and he speaks. And thank you again.
He'll be here tomorrow. No.
Yeah, he'll be live Tuesday.
All right.
So thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. Tell someone about the program, but more importantly, tell them about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.